You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 6th of July 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, we've had our first weekend with the lockdown lifted in Britain and it seems some certain nationalists went to the top of Mam Tor with a big White Lives Matter banner, which you can find on Laura Towler's Twitter feed and Mark Collett's Twitter feed. Good on them. We need to see more of this White Lives Matter meme. It does seem that Black Lives Matter have overplayed their hand. We are now seeing the BBC saying that they don't want people to be wearing Black Lives Matter badges. We've had people involved in motor racing refusing to wear Black Lives Matter t-shirts. It's all hotting up here, and I was actually there at the weekend. I didn't go to the top of the tour, of course, but it was very nice to meet up with people whilst remaining socially distanced. Of course, we were all observing the guidelines that we have with coronavirus, but it was nice to get out, nice to meet up with other nationalists once again. And I got back and I was listening to a podcast with Mark Collett and Richie Allen, and it was actually recommended on BitChute, which is great to see. Mark Collett's stuff is now being recommended on the front page of BitChute. I mean, that is what YouTube used to do before they fiddled with the algorithms. Of course, the internet used to be democratic. It used to be that whoever was the most popular actually got to the top of the ratings and got recommended to people, so people saw the best content, basically. But that no longer happens on YouTube, so it's good to see that it does happen on BitChute. But I was listening to this podcast last night, and Mark was making some very good points, and it's great that Richie Allen will interview someone like Mark. Richie's on the left-hand side of things, alternative left, and Mark is on the right-hand side of things, or alternative right, you could say. And Richie's obviously a supporter of Black Lives Matter, and he's talking about police violence against blacks and saying that it's racist. And Mark was making his point that the police are violent against everyone. They don't particularly pick on blacks. This attack on George Floyd, it wasn't really an attack. It was It certainly wasn't racist. The guy that supposedly killed George Floyd by holding him in a chokehold is married to a non-white wife. So there's no evidence of actual racism there. But Mark was making the point that if we're going to talk about institutional racism, we need to talk about the fact that all these white girls that went to the police and said that they were being groomed and abused in horrific ways. Some of them were murdered, they were got on drugs, they were trafficked across the country, and 1,400 just in Rotherham, but it could be up to 1 million, according to the Mirror, all over the country. And these girls were totally failed. And Mark was pointing out that if you're going to talk about institutional racism, that is institutional racism. And Richie wasn't quite getting it, and I think it could have been explained a little bit better, because people don't really understand what institutional racism is. They just hear it associated with the police, and they just hear, oh, well, institutional racism, that means people within the institution are racist. No, it means that it comes down from the top. It means it's a part of the institution itself that it is racist. And Mark was making the argument that this came down from the Home Office. And Richie was saying, yes, well, it came from the Home Office, so therefore it wasn't the police's fault, therefore it wasn't institutional racism, which is a false argument. A lot of the police probably didn't want to ignore those white girls, but they were told to from above, and that means it was institutional. If it came from the Home Office that the police were not to investigate these cases because it might inflame community tensions, then that is the very definition of institutional racism. It's institutional. It came directly from the Home Office. I mean, Black Lives Matter can say, well, black people are getting arrested more than whites. But has that come from the Home Office? No, the Home Office is saying that the police need to arrest less black people and more white people because the numbers don't add up. The numbers show that black people are more likely to commit crime. And if this narrative that there's no difference between the races is true, then there must be some other reason why they are committing this crime. They must actually be innocent, maybe, or maybe there are lots of white people that are also carrying out lots of stabbings and they're just not being caught. Of course, that is not what's going on. What is going on is that black people are more likely to commit crimes. We see this wherever they are in the world. We see this from David Lammy's report that showed us that black people are more likely to commit crimes. But of course, his conclusions are that it must be racism that's causing this. But to get back to the point of institutional racism, there's no guidelines been handed out, no unofficial guidelines been handed out by the Home Office saying that the police have to stop and search all black people. But there were unofficial guidelines sent out by the Home Office saying don't investigate these grooming gang cases because it might inflame community tensions. That's the reason that we have been given as to why these cases weren't investigated. And that is the definition of institutional racism. And I just think that needs pointing out just exactly what institutional racism means. It means it comes down from the top. I think Richie was thinking that it meant that just some of the people involved in the institution might be racist, but it means that it's embedded in the institution itself. And this anti-whiteness, anti-white policies that we see the police carrying out, they're quite open about these anti-white policies, that they've been told to do this. We've got these policies that prevent us from talking about who is carrying out the crimes. We have to have it on our little independent radio stations and on BitChute. And, you know, we can't go out there in public with signs saying who is committing all the crimes, because that would break these that would break these anti-white laws that we have, because black people can say whatever they like. Black people can say words that we are not allowed to say. So if there is any institutional racism, it is directed against white people. And the fact that all those white girls were failed after those horrific things happened to them is just proof of it. Anyway, that's just something that I wanted to bring up before getting into a news story today. And I've got one from Scotland here. Scottish Justice Secretary Humza Yousaf, that's a nice Scottish name there, isn't it, has complained of receiving over 6,000 racist social media posts after he delivered a speech denouncing Scotland for having too many white people in key positions. Now, some might say that actually that speech that he gave was racist, saying there are far too many white people in key positions. You imagine if someone was to give a speech and say there are far too many non-whites in the cabinet, and they would be accused of being racist for saying that. Or if someone was to go to Africa and say there are far too many black Africans in the Zimbabwean cabinet, you would be accused of white supremacy if you said anything like that. And yet this Scottish Justice Secretary, Humza Yousaf, he hasn't been accused of racism. He hasn't been accused of being a supremacist because, of course, he's non-white. The Justice Minister for Scotland's left separatist devolved executive, roughly equivalent to a US state government, told local media that the abuse I get online is an hourly occurrence, and demanded that Twitter do more to censor and ban what he described as hateful accounts. Well, it couldn't possibly be what he is saying, is it? I mean, the whole point of Twitter is that you can contact people. And if you're a public personality and you say things publicly, you can be held to account. That is the point of social media, really. If you're a public person, is that you can be held to account for these things. Journalists might say something in a newspaper report that people might take issue with, and they can then take issue with that journalist. And I dare say that what he is calling here as abuse is people saying, well, actually, we don't think it's very nice of you to say that you want to see more white people replaced in Scotland, which is a white country. And they will complain about this abuse, as they call it. But if people are saying things that are really upsetting to people, I mean, it has to be pretty upsetting for somebody to bother to set up a Twitter account or get a device in the first place, set up a Twitter account, and then make their feelings known. And the reason why they come across as angry or aggressive is obviously because the person has said something that's really insulting. A lot of the time it's these feminist types that will say things that are extremely anti-male, and it gets people's backs up. And these are people with all the power. This man here, this Scottish Justice Secretary, he has all the power. He is in a key position in the Scottish devolved Parliament. And here he is complaining of hurty words that are being sent to him on Twitter by people that have no power, by the working white class, the people that are most left behind, according to statistics. That's the group that are doing worst at school and at worst in education and really need the most help. But of course, because they're white, it'd be racist if we said we need to help white people. So it's the people that have the least amount of power that are doing all that they can do, which is basically to blow off steam online. And he can't just let this wash over him. You know, he can't just say, well, this is just criticism of how I feel. No, he's got to call for these people to be censored. And they need to have their whole Twitter accounts banned. They need to be prevented from taking part in the public discourse because they're saying things that he doesn't like. I mean, that is essentially what happens when you ban someone from social media. You're saying they can't take part in what used to be the market square. I mean, that is where people have their conversations nowadays. That's where you pick up the public conversation. And it used to be with those social media accounts that, you know, you could say how you felt. You can't do that anymore. You can't say how you feel. You have to watch what you're saying. If a lot of people were to say how they truly feel, then they're going to get accused of being hateful. They need to be banned. Of course, if you're non-white, you can say how you truly feel. If you're non-white, you can threaten to kill white people, as we saw recently, one of these Black Lives Matter supporters saying if anybody says all lives matter, once again, she was going to stab them or something like that. And she was actually held to account for that. But that's a rare occurrence. You know, we see these horrible things written about white people all the time, and nobody does anything about that. And I'm not saying that those people should be banned for saying hateful things about white people. If they feel hateful towards white people, okay, they feel hateful towards white people. They should be allowed to say that if that's how they feel. And we should take notice of that. Our government should take notice of that and say, look, these people hate us. This diversity experiment, it's not working. Why don't we do what Black Lives Matter suggest and give them black judges, black police, and give them their own territory? And why don't we have our white territory over here? That would solve so many problems, wouldn't it? You would have no more racism in the world if we were to do that. Of course, that's a far too sensible a thing to do, and it's the sort of thing that gets suggested in the Russian Duma. Another reason why we should not do the common sense thing. The Russians do it. Well, the Daily Record reports that USAF's staff counted thousands of messages of abuse following a speech the minister made in June expressing his support for the Black Lives Matter movement. Again, this is a movement that calls for the defunding of the police, the collapse of capitalism, and destroy the patriarchy. So it supports feminism, it supports anarchy, And here we have the Scottish Justice Secretary supporting them, the man that is supposed to be responsible for law and order and justice in Scotland, and he is supporting these anarchists. The Scottish National Party minister reported receiving further abuse following the mass stabbing carried out by a Sudanese asylum seeker in Glasgow at the end of last month. Now why would he be singled out for what he calls abuse? I would say it was probably criticism. Why would he be singled out for this? Well, because he is a big advocate for immigration, non-white immigration into Scotland, along with Nicola Sturgeon, another massive advocate of non-white immigration into Scotland. And what happens when we have this non-white immigration into Scotland? Well, we get a mass stabbing carried out by a Sudanese asylum seeker. So I dare say the people that were sending these messages were saying, if you hadn't called for more immigration, those people would all still be alive, wouldn't they? And some of the people that were stabbed there, they were workers in the hotel. He did also stab other asylum seekers. And it's not like this is the first time asylum seekers have done this. As I mentioned last week, the Libyan that stabbed those three white men that seems to have just disappeared out of the news, he was an asylum seeker as well. And last week we had another asylum seeker that was jailed for setting up terrorist acts in Germany. So it's not like this is the first time that asylum seekers have caused problems here, and it won't be the last. But if you can't hold the people to account that are calling for more immigration, then we don't have a democracy, do we? If we have a democracy, these people that are supposedly represent us, we should be able to hold them to account. One of the ways we can hold them to account is contact them on social media. And of course, when people do the right thing, when people do good things, and they say things that are popular with the people, then they get masses of messages of support, don't they? They get people sending them messages of support and saying, good on you, well done, I'm so pleased that you said that, I'm so pleased that you brought this policy in. It's just that rarely happens now, because our representatives are no longer representing us. They are representing non-whites most of the time. As he is here, I mean, this Yousaf, who's supposed to be representing Scotland, he's calling for essentially for the Scottish people to be replaced. So he's not standing for Scotland, is he? He's standing for other non-whites like himself. He says, someone tweeted to say that I had blood on my hands, as though I was responsible. Well, all the politicians are responsible. All the politicians that have advocated for immigration into this country are partially responsible for the crimes that are carried out by those people that then immigrate to this country. Because if they weren't here, those crimes wouldn't have happened, would they? If we didn't have Muslims, say, in the country, we wouldn't have these grooming gangs that are majority Muslim, would we? We just wouldn't have them. We had no such thing as a grooming gang until we brought Muslims into the country. We had no such thing as acid attacks until we brought non-whites in. I don't want to be seen as if I'm singling out Muslims here. I mean, a lot of these problems just come with the races involved. The religion is a part of it as well. And if they want to do those things in their own countries, that's fine. And our government could see what they did in their countries. We could see what India is like. We could see what Pakistan is like. We could see what Africa is like. And yet our representatives in government still advocated for immigration into our countries. We did have politicians that warned what would happen. We had Enoch Powell, for instance, and just about everything he said was going to happen has happened. So they can't say that they didn't know this was going to happen. They can't say they didn't know that things like mass stabbings were going to occur if they brought in these asylum seekers, when this seems to be a regular occurrence that they carry out mass stabbings. I mean, it was just the weekend before this one that we had a mass stabbing carried out by an asylum seeker. So he does partially have blood on his hands, and he doesn't want to hear this, you see, because to him that's hate if you tell him that. He says, that doesn't just anger me, but it deeply upsets me that people out there think I am somehow responsible for an incident that could have left many people dead, added Yousaf, a vocal supporter of mass immigration and the resettling of asylum seekers in Scotland. Why can't he see that he is partially responsible for this? You can't say that the people that are out there protesting against immigration, you can't say they are partially responsible for when an asylum seeker goes on a stabbing spree, but you can say that the people that are advocating for it, especially the people that are in power, especially the people that actually have the power to prevent these asylum seekers, these fake asylum seekers, because there is no war in France, the people that have the power to prevent that, we can hold them to blame for these crimes when they happen. In his controversial speech to the Scottish Parliament last month, the Justice Secretary gave an impassioned rant bemoaning the number of white people in top jobs in Scotland, where the percentage of the population identified as white is 96%, according to the 2011 census. So Scotland is 96% white, and yet he thinks he can't understand why there aren't black people everywhere. And knowing what Scotland is like, it's got lots of very rural areas. It's probably just in the main cities that they do actually have non-whites. Out in the islands, out in the rural areas, they probably aren't any non-whites at all. So if you wanted to have, say, 14% non-whites in the police force, you wouldn't even be able to find 14 non-whites in that county, I would suggest, especially way up there in the north. He says, some people have been surprised or taken aback by my mention on social media that at 99% of the meetings that I go to, I am the only non-white person in the room, said Yousaf, who is educated at a private school in Glasgow. Well, that's correct, isn't it? I mean, that is basically correct with the percentage of the population that is non-white in Scotland. I mean, he's saying 99%, but it should be 96% to be exact. 96% of the meetings he goes to should not have anyone else non-white in them. So, I mean, basically what he's saying there is the representation of non-whites at the meetings he goes to is basically what their percentage of the population is. He's not happy with that, though. He says, why are we so surprised where the most senior positions in Scotland are filled almost exclusively by people who are white? Well, actually, yeah, I am quite surprised at that, because multiculturalism is everywhere. I mean, this says that Scotland's probably still a pretty good place to be. I bet they have a fairly low crime rate there, especially in the rural areas, I would have thought. He says, take my portfolio, for example. The Lord President, white. The Lord Justice Clerk, white. Every High Court judge, white. The Lord Advocate, white. The Solicitor General, white. The Chief Constable of Police Scotland, white. Every Deputy Chief Constable, white. Every Assistant Chief Constable, white. The Head of the Law Society, white. The Head of the Faculty of Advocates, white. Every Prison Governor, white. Well, why should it be any different? We're talking about Scotland here. Scotland is a white country. It's a country that is full of Scots. It's even named after the Scottish people that come. Apparently, the name comes from Princess Scota, who, legend has it, was something to do with the last king of Judea, Zechariah. One of his daughters managed to make her way over to Ireland, and then after that, made their way into Scotland. Obviously, these people in this royal line, and that's where this word Scotta comes from. So it's an ancient name, and it means that these people are white. It's not an African name. They came from Ireland. Ireland is not a country known for its black Africans either. So why should people in Scotland, why should the representatives of the Scottish people be anything other than white? And why is he advocating for that? Why isn't he pleased that the Scottish people have been so generous that they have allowed him to represent them as their Justice Secretary? Because that's a great honour, isn't it? I mean, this is a white country, and they've allowed a non-white to be their Justice Secretary. I mean, that is a great credit. That's a great honour. It's like the SNP are saying, this guy is so good. He's so good at what he does. He's better than the normal white Scots, and we're going to put him in charge of our justice system. And instead of being thankful for all that, he's now saying that, well, this isn't good enough. We need to replace all these white people. We can't have 96% whites and 4% non-whites in Scotland. We've got to increase that. We've got to get rid of more white people. And then he's all upset when the Scottish people write to him and say, well, we don't agree. We don't want to be replaced. The chief medical officer, he says, white. The chief nursing officer, white. This is not justice. The chief veterinary officer, white. The chief social work advisor, white. Almost every trade union in the country headed by people who are white. And remember, Scotland's 96% white. Why would you expect it to be any different? He says, in the Scottish government, every director general is white. Every chair of every public body is white. That is not good enough. I mean, this is just naked hatred of white people, isn't it? This is not good enough because we've got just far too many white people here in a white country. Imagine someone said there's far too many black people in Cyril Ramaphosa's government in South Africa. I mean, that used to be a white country, and now it's a black country. They've replaced all the white people in government there with blacks. And how does the country look? It's not a first world country anymore, is it? It's the crime capital of the world. It's not good for the people to have non-whites in charge. When you look at these countries that did used to be white, you can look at Zimbabwe as well. It used to be Rhodesia. How is Zimbabwe doing now that they replaced all the white people with blacks? Again, it's a third world country. It used to be a first world country, and it's a third world country. So there is no measurement that they can actually come up with to say that having more blacks in positions of power is going to be of any benefit to the country at all. What about Haiti? Haiti used to have white people running the whole country. And Haiti, I think, three times now, it's completely collapsed and had to be bailed out by America. And they literally cannot point to anywhere that it's been a good thing putting non-whites in government and replacing whites. And yet, according to him, that's what we want. It's not good enough that 96% of the Scottish establishment is white. Yousaf told fellow members of the Scottish Parliament these should be uncomfortable truths for them, and that racism is literally killing minorities. How can they say this is racist? It's not racism. It's because the figures tell us Scotland is 96% white. You would expect the establishment to be 96% white. He says the establishment is 99% white. So, you know, that's pretty close. That's pretty accurate. And the fact that they let him be their justice minister, it says that they're not racist. It says that they're bending over backwards not to appear racist. And they've even replaced one of their own kind with his kind. And he's not grateful for that. Not at all. He says, Scotland has a problem of structural racism before demanding that everyone in the country become an activist for anti-racism. Well, how can he say they have structural racism when he's the justice minister? Addressing white people, he said, do not just tweet Black Lives Matter. Do not just post a hashtag. And do not just take the knee. As people of colour, we do not need your gestures. Sorry? You say you don't need our gestures? I mean, you're asking for us to just give up our jobs here and hand them over to you. You're asking the white establishment to just give up doing what they're doing and hand over their positions to non-whites. Not hand over their positions to people that are more qualified to do those jobs, or people that have shown that they are going to be able to do these jobs any better. But you're saying just hand over these positions simply because they're people of colour, simply because they're non-white. And how can he not see that he is being anti-white here? How can he not understand that this is obviously going to upset a large portion of the Scottish population? He says, yes, solidarity is helpful, but what we need from you is action and for you to be anti-racist by your deeds. What does he mean by being anti-racist by deeds? Does he mean attacking white people? Does he mean physically attacking white people? Or does he mean snitching on white people for having unorthodox views, having taboo feelings, liking other white people, liking their own kind, standing up for their own extended family rather than standing up for his extended family? I mean, that's what he's saying. He's saying we should be standing up for his extended family instead of standing up for our own extended family. And if we're not going to stand up for our own extended family, then who is? He's quite clearly not going to stand up for us. He's been put in a position where he could be standing up for us, and he's not. He's standing up for his own family and telling us that we are somehow wrong for standing up for our own family. He says, do not just tell us how you are not racist. I take that as a bare minimum. You must be anti-racist. Footage of parts of the speech gained significant negative attention on social media last week, particularly after one user posted it with the caption, "The trouble with Scotland is that it's full of Scots," a famous line spoken by English King Edward Longshanks in Mel Gibson's Braveheart. And that really sums this up, doesn't it? Because that's what he's saying. He's saying it's full of Scots, we need to replace them, and you Scots are evil for not wanting to replace them and for complaining about it on Twitter. Yousaf's post received more than 1,500 responses, many of them querying the proportion of top jobs in Africa and Asian countries occupied by white people. It is unclear what criteria his staff used to determine which of these remarks, among others, amounted to racist abuse. Well, let's have a look here. So he got 1,500 responses there to this, and yet, according to the Daily Record, his staff managed to count thousands of messages of abuse after this. And yet there are only 1,500 messages in all. So they're making these massive exaggerations of so-called abuse that he received for this. So what he is saying is every single one of those messages was not supportive. And he's calling it abuse. I dare say he says that that was abuse, saying Scotland should be full of Scots, the line from Braveheart. I'm sure he would accuse that as being hateful. But how else are we going to hold these people to account? If we can't message them on Twitter, if we can't publicly shame them when they make these anti-white speeches, how do they expect us to hold them to account? How do they expect to say we have a democracy if we can't actually hold our representatives to account and they just silence us? And they ban us. Politicians should not be able to ban anyone from commenting to them. They should be open to everyone. They claim to represent the people, but it seems a disturbingly large number of them think that they shouldn't have to face us at all. They think that any time we criticise them, we should just be banned outright from social media. And I'm very encouraged to hear that there were so many responses to this speech of his, accusing it of being anti-white, because it shows that there is a change going on here. White people are getting fed up of being told that they're racist. They're getting fed up of being told that they need to be replaced. And the time is right for someone to stand out from the crowd and represent us. And I think the time is right for the either politicians that we already have or new people to rise up through the ranks and to say that they are going to stand up for white people. And I think the time is finally coming when the general public is going to support them, and they're not going to go along with this nonsense that it's racist to support people that stand up for your own people. Because all we see now is non-whites standing up for their own people, which is fine. What is not fine is telling us that we can't stand up for our own people and telling us that it's hate when it's not. It's love for our own kind. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.